Welcome to the first edition of the Pop Culture Podcast. Oh, yeah. It's a co-production of NOLA.com and New Orleans Public Radio. Today, we're talking about the 2014 Essence Festival. I'm Jason Saul, joined by my co-host, Allison Fensterstock.
Hey, Jason. I'm excited about doing our first pop culture podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What do you think?
It's pretty awesome so far.
And we just started, so I guess time will tell. So the Pop Culture Podcast is a new venture, and we'd love to hear what you think. Send us an email at comments@wwno.org. So Allison, let's start off with the bare basics. Prince.
Prince. I think that Prince is one of the most worthwhile things to talk about that there is. This is Prince's first performance at Essence Fest since 2004. He was here for the 10th anniversary. Now he's headlining the 20th anniversary of the festival. And it is a very exciting time in the world of Prince because this past spring we learned that he had reached an agreement with his old label, Warner Brothers Music, who he famously fell out with around the time of switching his name to The Symbol. He appeared on stage with the word slave written on his face. Prince was very upset. But now they're back together, and they're going to do some reissues, including an announced reissue of Purple Rain, which will be a deluxe remastered edition with probably bonus tracks and things from the vault. And Prince has a very big vault. Prince is one of the most interesting artists in American music and probably in the world, and he has been for more than 30 years. His first album came out, I think, in 1978. And ever since then, he's been very careful about every aspect of production and presentation. Like, I think on some of his very first albums, he played all the instruments, did all the production himself. He was very careful about the makeup of his band, the way people dressed. You know, he had the revolution was kind of like girls and boys and all different colors and everyone in their sexy outfits or their flowy outfits, or, you know, Dr. Fink, who wore a mask. I mean, it was very much a visual presentation as much as it was a sound, which I think it was why it had such a crazy impact when it first came out. It was just this phenomenon of Prince-ness, and it was revolutionary. One really interesting thing about Prince this year that is a mystery to me on some levels, although a very intriguing one, is Prince is co-hosting a hackathon called hashtag Yes We Code at Essence. And that's essentially, you know, like a sort of hardcore app development session.
Well, I didn't realize Prince was such a hardcore coder.
I know. I mean, I hadn't, like, what kind of apps does Prince develop? Would they be like
music apps just because I'm boring?
Music apps? I don't know. An app for your hairdo, an app to make things more purple.
An app to tell you when the rain is coming. Or how many doves are overhead.
There is. I keep thinking of the song Computer Blue, which has nothing to do with computers. It's just Wendy and Lisa talking to each other. So maybe he would develop some sort of Computer Blue app. Anyway, so this is one of the unsolved mysteries of Essence 2014 is, like, why is Prince doing a hackathon and what will come out of it? And what will he wear to the hackathon?
To the hackathon?
Yeah.
Just circuit boards.
Right. So that's going to be very exciting when we all learn what happens with that.
So Essence takes over a large part of the convention center as well with a series of talks and seminars. It's called the Empowerment Experience. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I think that is the thing that maybe sets Essence apart from a lot of other music festivals is that it does have this kind of self-improvement, inspirational aspect. It's, you know, during the day, every day for free in the convention center, they have tons of speakers and workshops and seminars, and they run the gamut of everything that Essence covers as a magazine. It's financial advice, style and beauty advice, just motivational talks. A lot of faith-based speakers as well. There was HIV activists. They usually have a lot of health advocacy.
And it's entirely free, right?
It is entirely free, yeah.
Well, what are the other events and activities surrounding Essence?
Essence itself keeps adding more events. So last year, for the first time, they added the free family reunion day in Waldenburg Park. I know this year one of the acts is Cupid, the Cupid Shuffle. So there's probably going to be, like, a major park-sized Cupid Shuffle happening.
I'd love
day.
To see that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I can never remember all the line dance steps, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should even admit that, but I'm not very coordinated, as it turns out.
So it's kind of like a downtown jazz fest?
On a smaller scale. Yeah. I mean, more like maybe a South by Southwest, where everything is sort of clustered together in the clubs. There's a lot of nightclub-based after parties. There's actually a website I really like that's not an official Essence site. It's emfsocial.com, and it keeps track of everything that's going on surrounding Essence Fest.
Oh, cool.
There are parties in all the clubs kind of around the Poydras area and the Metropolitan, especially over across from Cochon. A lot of celebrity-hosted DJ parties. I mean, you can really stay out all day and all night, as you always can in New Orleans, actually. There's one party that's on the Creole Queen paddle wheeler and sort of sails out at sunset, comes back in time to catch some Essence Fest at the Dome. So, I mean, official and unofficial stuff, there's a ton going on.
Sure, not enough festivals have a paddle wheeler.
Yeah, there should be more boats. There should be generally more boats at festivals. Yeah. Voodoo would do well with boats. They have a lake right there in City Park.
Yeah. What do you think? Truck in a big boat or
little, yeah, little boats.
Little boats.
Like kayaks. Everyone can just paddle
like
around.
Like a big three-masted schooner up the bayou.
Buku has a boat. They have the SS Buku Fest that docks on the Mississippi River right next to the main stage, and that's the VIP area. So
yeah, it was on that 2 years ago until they threw press off of it because apparently the press had drank all the alcohol, so we weren't allowed back on the boat.
Well, there is. I know. I think that this boat at a festival thing, although the Essence Festival boat party is not an official Essence event, but I think that we're clearly onto something.
Yeah, more boats.
More boats.
I've never heard a major concert, honestly, in the Superdome. So I guess the acoustics, you know, it's not designed to be a acoustically perfect concert venue. How does it sound?
The interesting thing is the sound kind of changes a lot throughout the night because when there aren't enough bodies in there, it's very hollow and echoey. And usually by the time the headliner comes on, there's like enough warm bodies in there to give it a much softer, nicer sound. Yeah, no, it feels like a festival.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it's a live situation. It's not acoustically perfect. It's not like a theater setting, but you know, that's what it's designed to be, kind of like a big community experience where everyone's running around and doing a bunch of different things.
Essence Festival is named for Essence the magazine, which is the producer of the festival, and you know, it's a women's magazine.
It is, yeah. It's a magazine that's directed at Black women, and I think one thing that I don't know if it gets talked about enough is that the booking of Essence, I think, reflects that the brand is a women's brand. You know, they've got almost 50 acts playing the festival this year, and really almost exactly half of them are women, and you would not find that at any other major festival.
Yeah, anywhere.
It's, you know, either headliners or acts in general, so it's an amazing proportion. And
a lot of the Essence experience, too, kind of reflects that, too, right?
Yeah, it does. Like, a lot of the seminars are aimed at women's issues and improving women's lives. And it's really, I mean, it's kind of a feel-good experience. You know, it sounds cheesy to say that, but it's the kind of thing you could go to with, like, a bunch of sorority sisters or, like, with your mom and your grandma. And you see that a lot. You see a lot of women out together in big groups, you know, like, just celebrating. And I think there's something wonderful about, like, even younger women being able to go to a festival like this and seeing it just being a normal proportion. I mean, it's 51% of the population, almost exactly 51% of the acts on stage.
Also joining us is Keith Spira, music writer for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com.
Hello. Good to be here.
So you've been to every Essence Festival. So this is the 20th anniversary, right?
Yes, been to every single Essence Festival. Have seen it really more than evolve, remain pretty steady over the years. You know, the basic formula has not changed from the get-go. You've got the main stage with all the big old-school artists as well as sort of the flavor of the year. And then you've got sort of the well past their prime, but still loved up-and-comers and local people in the four super lounges. So the basic formula of the festival hasn't changed. And the audience throughout that time has remained pretty consistent as well. You know, you've got basically a middle and upper class, overwhelmingly African-American audience that turns out for this festival every year. There is a brand loyalty there. People that have subscribed to the magazine, I think, were curious at the get-go to come out to it. But now the festival has its own identity and its own fans and its own attraction. You know, I mean, it's sort of a family reunion every year in the Superdome for a lot of these people that come in every year. And I think you get people that sit sort of in the same section of the Superdome every year. And, I mean, it's a thing. You know, you dress up and you go out and you make an event of it. You know, in the 1 year Essence was not staged in New Orleans, the first festival after Hurricane Katrina, when the Superdome was still being repaired, they did the festival in Houston. And that just underscored for everybody how perfectly suited New Orleans really is for this event.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. It's, New Orleans is central to the Essence experience.
Absolutely. I mean, for a lot of different reasons. I mean, certainly culturally, you know, the city's history in music. But really, more than that, it comes down to the logistics of not just the Superdome, but having the convention center nearby within walking distance, with walking distance to all the major hotels, to the restaurants, to the French Quarter. Last year, they expanded it to Waldenburg Park and did a big festival out there as well. So all these venues are within walking distance. Houston, that wasn't the case. They did it at Reliant Stadium, and you had to drive or else you were going to spend, you know, 3 days walking back to your hotel, sort of thing. Aside from all the other problems with Houston, which we don't need to go into here. But, you know, I mean, early closing time in the bars and all that sort of stuff. I mean, the consensus amongst the Essence audience was that Houston blows, quite frankly. Let's go back to New Orleans. And I actually interviewed Michelle Ebanks, the president of Essence Communications, and she pretty much said that New Orleans is now the city. It's not even up for debate. I mean, there were years in the past where Atlanta tried to get it, and you know, Houston tried to get it and did the 1 year. But according to Michelle, you know, New Orleans is the city now. I mean, going forward, this is the home for Essence probably permanently.
So what is it about Prince? We've been talking about Prince. What is it about Prince that's so special to Essence now? He was here for the 10th anniversary and put on a pretty crazy show, and now he's back again 10 years later. What are you looking forward to this year?
Well, you know, Prince, he's smart. I mean, self-promotion is one of his artistic strengths for sure. And, yeah, he does seem to turn up at these high-profile Essence. You know, he's here for the 10th. He's back for the 20th. And they basically turn over the entire night to him. You know, they let him curate the entire night of the main stage in a way that they don't let other artists do that. So he selected the other folks that are going to be on the main stage that night, Janelle Monáe and Nile Rodgers. And it's still not clear to Michelle Ebanks, and you know, this is, I talked to her a couple weeks before the festival, still wasn't clear to her exactly what Nile Rodgers or even Janelle Monáe were going to do. Like, she wasn't sure if they were going to do their own sets. So Janelle Monáe probably will do her own set, but Nile Rodgers, she wasn't sure. She thought maybe he would play with Prince. And in 2004, you know, the only act that he had let them know ahead of time that was going to be there was Morris Day and the Time. But then the night of the show, it starts off with this other sort of anonymous band of people that are affiliated with him, including Sheila E. and some other folks. Man, I remember walking in the Dome and hearing the music. I'm like, that's not Morris Day and the Time, because that was the only people that were supposed to play as far as anybody knew. But lo and behold, it was these other folks. And then, of course, Prince made his own anonymous appearance with this band. He was in disguise, wearing like a wig and a fake beard, and was on roller skates, like roller skating across the stage anonymously as this other band is playing, you know. So it was a very Prince-like evening, even before the show started.
Yeah, and I think Prince has always had a very sort of wide, extended family of musicians. I mean, like Morris Day, like Sheila E., like Vanity and Apollonia and Maserati and the family and everyone. And he kind of still does. He works with a lot of different artists. He had Trombone Shorty on the new Andy Allo album, who's one of his proteges. So I was guessing that Shorty would probably turn up with Prince at Essence. We checked his calendar, and he does have time to do it. I was also noticing Liv Warfield, who was in the New Power Generation, is on the Essence schedule this year, so I think the odds are good that she'll turn up. I don't know. Who else do you think is going to pop up?
You know, there's no telling. The show the last time was so interesting and so frustrating, too, because, you know, he's such the master of the tease. I mean, that was his big thing last time, where he would start a song and be like, oh, no, 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 y'all aren't ready for that yet, and then cut it off and go to something else. And the audience would groan and, but then he would never go back to it. So that kind of, like, bummed me out after a while. It's like, no, 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 please finish When Doves Cry. It's a great song, you know, and he didn't. So, you know, that's the thing with Prince, is that it's such a wild card. You know, it could be completely crazy and great, or it could be, like, self-indulgent and not great. you just don't know.
It's always going to be great because it's Prince.
It's going to be interesting, no doubt. Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, but like I said, in 2004, one of the highlights of that show was when it was just him and an acoustic guitar sitting at the center of the stage doing Little Red Corvette, this acoustic version of Little Red Corvette that was brilliant. And I'd never heard it like that before. It completely reinvented the song, but it was completely compelling like that. You know, and that was really, really cool. So he's certainly capable of doing stuff like that that is unexpected and great and lets you see him and his songs in a whole new light.
Yeah, I mean, the world of Prince bootlegs on the internet is a vast sea that is, like, unlistenable by any one human, you know, in one lifetime. But I have a recording of him doing Kiss that way, just, like, straight acoustic guitar. It's, like, it's an awesome little clip, and I would love to see him do something like that live. You know, actually, I wanted to ask you, I was talking about how I've always been really impressed by the proportion of female acts that Essence has. Like, I noticed this year it is almost exactly half main stage and Super Lounge performers. Because, I mean, it's a women's magazine, and they reflect that with the booking. Have they always done that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mary J. Blige has played, you know, she played the first year, actually. So she's been a mainstay from the get-go. And, yeah, I'd say the percentage of main stage acts, male to female, has remained pretty steady over the years. And that's obviously a consideration when they're booking. But it's not the only consideration. I mean, they want performers that are going to entertain their audience. And, you know, just because
they don't want those, like, boring performers.
No, they don't. They don't. You know, and they've, look, and they've had some that have not panned out nearly as well as they thought, you know. The first year Alicia Keys played, she kind of bombed. I mean, to be honest about it, she came out. It was, I think, after her second album, maybe right when her second album came out, if memory serves. And she came. She had this big overture that introduced her. You know, the band was singing Alicia Keys, Alicia Keys, and it was this whole big fanfare. And the audience is like, okay, don't tell us, show us. You know, impress us. And she came out, and she was real cocky, and it just, the show was poorly paced. Everyone was sitting down, like no one was standing up and dancing, which is always a sign at Essence that it's not working. I mean, the Essence audience is the ultimate barometer of whether or not a show is working. I don't even have to write, I don't have to look at the stage to write a review. You can just look at the crowd basically and tell whether or not it's working. This clearly wasn't working. Literally, they dropped the curtain on her, wouldn't let her come back for an encore, so she didn't even do Fallen, her biggest hit at the time.
Oh,
couldn't
my
even
God.
Do it. Like, that's how bad the show was. She came back, of course, a couple of years later and was much, much better because she understood that you got to come out and bring it at Essence right from the get-go. And you can't just try and, you know, impress them by telling them how great you are. You got to show it. So that said, you know, there was a strong woman performer, didn't work at Essence. Aretha Franklin, even a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was a sad one.
Yeah.
I was paying more attention to how her tangerine scarf kept getting tangled.
Oh, man. I mean, what a mess that show was. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, it was so poorly paced and so poorly designed. You know, she didn't even do Respect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you be Aretha Franklin and not play Respect? I mean, it's just,
I laughed after a couple of songs because I knew that you were reviewing it. And I was like, that's, yeah.
It was terrible. And, you know, seeing Jill Scott last year just cast an even higher relief how bad that Aretha Franklin show was. Because Jill was the total opposite. Jill was like this natural progression where she sort of eased into it, built strength, did a little bit of jazz, a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of R&B, mixed it all together. But the show was just tightly paced from start to finish. By the end of it, she had everybody up. I mean, she picked that audience up, brought them on a journey, went to a logical conclusion, and it was great. You know, I mean, that's what an artist wants to do, which swings back to this year, you know, the 20th anniversary. It is kind of a greatest hits Essence lineup of a latter day Essence greatest hits lineup. You know, you got Lionel Richie. Who brings it? Who brings it? You know, every time. I mean, you know, say what you will. You know, some of the songs are cheesy, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, he brings it. At Essence, they love him, and he puts on a really good show.
You know, I want to say, except for Charlie Wilson, isn't Lionel Richie is like the most old school act, I think, this year? Like, we don't have like a Stylistics or any real throwbacks this year. Which,
not on the main stage, or you're talking about both on the
Super
Lounge?
Even in the lounges.
Right.
Yeah, it's very
right.
much like, it's kind of a more of a nostalgia for like 80s and 90s kids. I mean, who are now reaching the age that is Essence's demographic?
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah, I mean, it's progressing. I mean, the 20 years into the festival now, you know, the 80s were 30 years ago, you know, whereas
yeah.
20 years ago you had to reach back to the 60s to get that same sort of, you know, that same age gap, you know, so.
Yeah, which people are still, I think, cranky about the loss of Frankie Beverly and Maze as the headliner. But when you really look at who their crowd is, I mean, I think those are the people that want to see them at 5 o'clock at Jazz Fest and be at home, you know, and not see them at midnight on a Sunday in the Superdome.
Right.
I mean, now you're kind of looking at like 40-year-olds who really want to think about Mary J. or about Nas.
It's hard to argue with Charlie Wilson and Lionel Richie back to back on the last night. I mean, those are both like crowd pleasing, money in the bank sort of guys, you know, and the pairing of Jill Scott and Mary J. Blige on the Saturday night is a great kind of female equivalent of that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the two strong women together there. You've got the two strong guys on the Saturday night, on the Sunday night, Prince on the first night. And I like how the Roots are ahead of Jill Scott, you know, that kind of
yeah.
Philly connection there, because I think they're going to be really, really great and people are going to be blown away. So
you spoke to the fact that Essence is primarily an African-American festival. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, I've always been surprised that some of these, the more pop acts that they booked have not attracted a more diverse crowd, you know.
I mean, like you said, Prince.
Prince, yeah. Prince's fan base is very diverse. Beyonce, you know, Beyonce played in 2013 and a couple years before that. You know, huge pop star across the board.
That Beyonce night was one of the only, like, real sellouts that Essence ever
had. Yeah, last
year, right?
yeah, exactly. In 2013, it sold out. But again, the audience was not mixed at all. I mean, it was still overwhelmingly African-American. You know, and that extends not just in the audience, but even like the people, the press corps, you know, that covers it. I remember taking a picture in the Essence press room years ago. There were 40 people in the picture. I was the only white guy in the picture, like, you know, the only white person in the picture, which always struck me as strange because this is such an interesting festival and a unique festival, really, in America. I mean, there's no other event like it. I mean, you had like Playboy Jazz Festivals back in the day and like Budweiser Superfest, but those were all something else. This event is unique, and yet it didn't get, years ago, it certainly didn't get a lot of mainstream press coverage. That started to change now. USA Today has been covering it. New York Times has been covering it.
I think the Aretha year was the first year that NPR covered it.
Yeah, so that's changing. So maybe once, you know, the festival gets more, you know, quote-unquote mainstream press coverage, the audience will become more diverse. But, you know, I think the perception is still, you know, Essence is a magazine that's aimed primarily at an African-American audience. Therefore, the festival is mainly for an African-American crowd. And, you know, for whatever reason, it's remained that way. But, you know, I've had a great time.
It might be interesting to see, I mean, as the years go on, and like I was saying, how the headliners become, you know, younger and younger, how the crowd might become more diverse, because they're not, you know, those old school acts that maybe did have a much more definably black audience. You've got someone like Nas or Mary J. Blige, who really reached, you know, of the MTV era, that really reached everybody. So,
well, yeah, and you would think just as music tastes in general become more integrated, you know, and people, I mean, you've got, you know, what, half the people, half the country artists in Nashville are doing rap songs now. So, I mean, you know, you would think there'd be more crossover. But it hasn't happened in Essence yet, but you're right. It'll be interesting to see what happens down the road, for
sure. As you kind of get to the post-hip-hop generation, and the acts that they listen to are much more cross-genre and across race.
Yeah.
So,
for people who are new to Essence, where do you recommend people start?
Well, buy a ticket, first part. I made the mistake the first year of showing up thinking it was just a festival, so I wore like Jazz Fest clothes.
Oh, yeah, bring a sweater.
Yeah, well,
to Essence. Essence is freezing.
It's freezing. A, it's freezing, but B, people dress up for Essence, which I didn't realize the first time I went. Literally, I mean, I think people thought I was a stagehand because I was wearing, like, I don't know, you know, jeans and a t-shirt or something, or tennis shoes or something. So I've since learned that like a collared shirt or even a button-down shirt is much better. But it is, yeah, it's very, very stylish crowd. People dress up. It is a bit of a fashion thing. So if you're going to go, you know, yeah, you know, dress up, dress nice. And don't just hang out in the main room. You want to go check out the super lounges, which are a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, they're more, it's more of a club situation in these, the four lounges on the was, I guess it's technically a loge level. What would you say? Where? How would you describe?
I mean,
those
I think they
are
normally VIP areas, right, or club.
When it's a Saints game or something like that. Right.
So exactly. They're on the club level, whatever that is. But
it's a lot of fun just to walk there. And it is such a variety pack to walk around and see everything from local people to, what they had Gary Clark Jr. in there. Was it last year or 2 years ago? So you see all these kind of things that are not quite – they're oftentimes a lot different.
I saw Jody Watley in a super lounge, and it was like being at the disco.
That's amazing.
And I saw Robert Glasper, and it was just like a very chill, mellow, cozy jazz situation. So they're really like versatile, cool rooms. Like my favorite thing to do is start the night there, because at 7 o'clock the main room of the dome is kind of cavernous and echoey and cold and frightening and lonely.
And empty, yes. Very lonely. Yeah. So you start in the super lounges and then you
have some dinner and hang out there and then wait for the crowd to pick up in the main room. Because then, it sounds better when there's more people in the main room. The bodies absorb all the echo and hollowness. So,
which is another good point about the super lounges, though. That's where the best food is. Yeah. Is that, you can get like the standard dome, like pizzas and stuff on the floor of the arena, of the Superdome. But up in the lounges, you have booths with outside caterers where they sell
fried catfish and potato salad and macaroni and cheese and crawfish etouffee. And
although I have to say, the last year or two, it seems like the food has dropped off a little bit. It doesn't seem like they have quite the variety of vendors or that it's been as good. And I don't know if that's just my impression, but it definitely seems like it's not. I remember years where I would look forward to going to eat at Essence and try to figure out a way where I could eat dinner twice that night, each night, because some of it was so good. And I haven't had those kind of home run experiences the last couple of years, but maybe I'm just not eating enough.
Yeah, try eating more this year.
I will. Yeah, absolutely. Excellent.
That hasn't worked for me.
So Allison Fensterstock and Keith Spiro, thanks so much for talking with us.
Enjoyed it. It was great. We'll see everyone at Essence.
All right. I had a ball. See you soon.
And be sure to check out all of our reviews by Allison and I on NOLA.com throughout the festival.
The Pop Culture Podcast is a co-production of NOLA.com, The Times-Picayune, and 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. Until next time, I'm Jason Saul.